Tamsiko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Kijai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Gita Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadvip Dham Kijai Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai New Dwarka Dham Kijai Their Divine Lordship Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai Their Divine Lordship Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Srimati Subhadra Kijai Their Divine Lordship, Sri Sri Gornitai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai. Transcendental Book Distribution, Kijai. Harinam Sankirtan Jaga, Kijai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution, Kijai. Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the Sum of Devotees, Hari Krishna. All glories to the Sum of Devotees, Hari Krishna. All glories to the Sum of Devotees, Hari Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gauri Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 4. We're in text number 12. And today's title is Sadho. Anybody knows what that means? Good, yeah. Saintly person, truthful. Someone who's mindful of everything about the Lord. He's appreciative of his gifts. The association gives, the services he performs for him. Does the mic go up higher, or is that it? Is that good? Okay. So, yeah, we have to be mindful of everything of the Lord. Actually, everything is the Lord. It's a matter of consciousness, waking up. So we're seeing here an example of Uddhava, who had a desire to be in association with the Lord. You've heard of that topic, you become what you think about. So he constantly was thinking about, I just want to be in the association of the Lord, and Krishna fulfilled that desires. So this is what it means to be mindful. The sadhu, he speaks the mind of Krishna. So this is, and there was an interesting study. And they asked people, would you rather be alone with your thoughts or have an electric shock? So 30% of women chose an electric shock. 30%. Electric shock. Yeah. And guess what percentage of men chose an electric shock? How did you know? 60%. So see, it's known. It's a known study. So this is, the problem is people get caught up in their thinking, and especially of things that happened in the past. And they just completely think of the past. So the past keeps reoccurring in their life, right? And it, because they're afraid of the unknown, something better or bigger, they become comfortable with what's known. So they end up just living the same lives over and over again. So therefore we require knowledge and to understand our higher purpose. So this is what a sadhu is, purified. He's thoroughly honest and is giving these messages to enlighten people to connect with the supreme truth. So we'll discuss a little bit about that. And we'll talk about the Ishavasyam consciousness. And there's a lecture in New York Srila Prabhupada gave in 1966. And he talks about this Ishavasya consciousness and yoga. So he said, real meaning of yoga, to keep in touch with the Supreme, that is called yoga. So this is the example of Uddhava. He always wanted to be in touch in his mind, and eventually it happened. So you have to work from the platform of spiritual consciousness. At the same time, you have to work. So it's not that we just speak high philosophy and we memorize verses and things, but we actually have to apply it in our life. So the same thing with Uriah. He worked for it. He thought about the Lord. He desired to serve the Lord, and he actually served the Lord. So the Lord never says you stop work. So example of Arjuna, he wanted to stop fighting. But Krishna encouraged him. No, you have to fight. And then there's another one. Prabhupada talks about this Ishavasham consciousness. This is from a lecture here in Los Angeles in 1974. So this is very important here. The Krishna consciousness movement is so important. If people simply learn this, that everything belongs to Krishna, Ishavasham Idam Sarvam. Sarva means everything. Not that this much is mine, this much is Krishna's. So here's that thought again. We have the same mind of Krishna, that we're thinking that Krishna, we're grateful for everything, and we see that everything is his. Simply, we should use as much as he has allotted to us. Then there is peace and prosperity without any difficulty. Otherwise, you go on adjusting your material possessions, and time will take away everything. When you die, in due course of time, whatever possessions you have will be finished. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am death, right? Mrityu sarvasya harascham. So Krishna is everything, so Krishna is also death. Just like here is a picture of Hiranyakashipu. You can see there. Such a great demon, so proud. He's thinking, I am the proprietor of everything. He was chastising his son, doing whatever he liked. But when the Sringadev came, within a second, everything was finished. But what happened to Prahlad? He remained the same. Hiranyakashipu is finished, but Prahlad will never be finished. So here's another thing I'd just like to read. No, I haven't forgotten. Just hold on. I'm just kind of preparing you. Getting this idea of spiritual communism. So this is also the Ishavasham thing. So this understanding will lead to perfect communism. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. So, actually no, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, eighth canto. This understanding will lead to perfect communism. Communists think in terms of their own nations. But the spiritual communism instructed here is not only nationwide, but universal. Nothing belongs to any nation or any individual person. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the meaning of this verse. Whatever exists within this universe is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The modern communistic theory is also the idea of the United Nations can be reformed, indeed rectified, by understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is not a creation of our intelligence. Rather, he has created us. This is universal communism. It can solve all the problems of the world. So this is that sadhu. He thinks like this. He's honest. He knows what belongs to who. And he's honest in utilizing only what he needs, not thinking I can take over another nation or I could control this or that. So anyway, that's just to give you an idea of sadhu. So today's verse, sa, esa, sadhu, charamo, bhavanam, sa esa sadhu, charamo bhavanam, asaditas, te, mad, anugraho, yat, asaditas, te, mad, anugraho, yat, yan, mam, nrilokan, raha, Utsri jantam yan mam nilokan raha utsri jantam drishtya dadrishvan visadanu vritya drishtya dadrishvan visadanu vritya. So, yeah. Okay, so let's see. Help me with the tune here. Okay. Saesha sadu charamo babanam asadi taste madanuagrahoyat yan mam rilokan raha utsrijantam drishtya drishtvan visadan nuvritya. Saesha saru charamo babanam asaritas te maranu grahoyat yan mam rilokan raha utsrijantam drishtya drishvan visadanu vritya. Saesha saru charamo babanam asaditas te maranu grahoyat yan mam nilokan raha utsrijantam drishtya dadrishvan visadanu vritya. Yan mam nilokan raha utsrijantam distra dadrishvan visadanu vrita. Saesha saru charamo babanam asaditas te mad anugrahoyat yan mam nilokan raha utsrijantam drishtya dadrishvan visadanu vritya. Vaishnavis. Saesha sadu charamo babanam asaditas te madanugraho yat yamam dakamaha utsrijantam drishtya drishvan visadanu vritya. Saesha sadu charamo babanam namam nilokan raha utsrijantam drishtya dvidrishvan visadanu vritya. Sa, that, esha, of those, sadu, O honest one, charama, the ultimate, bhavanam, of all your incarnations, as Vasu, asaditaha, now achieved, te, unto you, mat, my, anugraha, mercy, yat, as it is. Yat, because. Mam, me. Nilokan, The planets of the conditioned souls. Raha, in seclusion. Utrijantam, while quitting. Distya, by seeing. Dadrishvan, what you have seen. Vishada anuvritya, by unflinching devotion. O honest one, your present life is the last and the supermost because in this term of life you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon for you. So please repeat. O honest one, your present life is the last and the supermost because in this term of life you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place, because of your pure, unflinching devotional service, is a great boon for you. Purport. When a person is fully conversant with knowledge of the Lord, as far as can be known by a perfect living entity in the liberated state, he is allowed to enter into the spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planets exist. The Lord was sitting in a lonely place, just about to disappear from the vision of the inhabitants of this universe. And Uddhava was fortunate to see him, even at that time, and thus received the Lord's permission to enter Vaikuntha. The Lord is everywhere at all times, and his appearance and disappearance are merely the experience of the inhabitants of a particular universe. He is just like the sun. The sun does not appear or disappear in the sky. It is only the experience of men that in the morning the sun rises and in the evening the sun sets. The Lord is simultaneously both in Vaikuntha and everywhere within and without Vaikuntha. Om Gyana Timadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshushulmanitamina Taishmaya Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhishcha Kripasindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavinim Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. O honest one, your present life is the last and the supermost because in this term of life you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon for you. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions here that he's just like the sun, which does not appear or disappear in the sky. It's only the experience of men that in the morning the sun rises and in the evening the sun sets. So we see here the sun. So everyone's enthusiastic and hopeful about the rising sun, right? The rising sun of life. You're full of energy. There's so many opportunities out there, let's just go for it, right? But people are not so much enthusiastic about the setting of the sun, right? At the end of life, when you retire, or you're tired, you become old, diseased, and ultimately we die. So there's many books about people's realizations about the rising sun and the setting sun. And even there was a book written about the fears of the setting sun, which was about the disillusionment of our America's founders. And it was explained how whatever sense of hope our founding fathers had for the birth of a new government, almost none of them carried that optimism to their graves. Actually, Franklin survived to see the Constitution in action only in one single year. But the founders who lived into the 19th century came to feel deep anxiety. They were disappointed and even despair about the government and the nation that they'd helped create. And indeed, they judged the Constitution that we now venerate as an utter failure. And it was unlikely to last beyond their own generation. I mean, it's going on, but we see actually how there's so many imperfections and how people are taking advantage, you know, in governments and everywhere. So they were, you know, they realized. So we have to have a change of heart. And in the second canto, that chapter 3, A Change of Heart, there's a nice verse there. One line in the verse is, Udyan astam chayan aso. So Udyan is the rising and astam is the setting. So by the rising and setting of the sun, it decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So he said Sada was good. So he's good because he's always absorbed in the all good. And he spreads that and he shares it. So there's a part of the purport there I'd like to read, which Prabhupada really elucidates here. So this verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realization or realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compared to any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity so that he can realize his spiritual identity, this permanent source of happiness. That's his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes in contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. So here again, we're bringing out the form, the importance of hearing about the all-good personality of Godhead, his form, his activities, and all these things. Just by hearing about them, it opens the door for us to go to our spiritual abode to become really happy. So just a few sentences here to finish this purport. Prabhupada mentions that the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear by the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Sukadeva Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus, the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life. Inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. So this is the process. We hear about the Lord, his different pastimes, and we engage. We're constantly busy in serving him. So that's important. So Prabhupada ends the purport here. There is a guarantee of money being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. And Prabhupada talks about all the different people that you give to, what you get. And the last person he mentioned was a Veda Paraga. If you give to him, one who's actually realized the Vedas, it's returned in unlimited multiplication. So just see what happens to the people that give to the devotees on Sankirtan. They're giving to Srila Prabhupada and spreading this movement. You're very sadhu. You're sadhu. So there's a guarantee of money being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. So you can't take it for granted. Devotees are out there distributing Krishna consciousness, distributing Krishna in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a sadhu. So Prabhupada ends, a devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So our old age, our sunset, is that guarantee. So just see, just like the sun never sets for the devotees, there was one story when, and I think it was Juhu in the early days, they went to a very rich person's home. They would have programs. And they said, oh, today's holiday. And the devotee said, what kind of holiday? What's today? Is it some holiday? I didn't think it was a holiday. Prabhupada said, for each day for the devotees of Krishna, it's a holiday because we're servants of Krishna. So just like that, the sun never sets for the devotees. We're always having a festival. We're always enthusiastic. Or like the Narada says, when he died, he was telling his story to Vyasadeva. He said, my death was like lightning and illumination occurring simultaneously. So see, it's very bright. We have a very bright future to look forward to. So regarding this Ishavasham Idam Sarvam, that Ishapanishad verse, the first verse, everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So this is a very important verse in the Srila Upanishad to understand. And Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to just go through the purport and just pick out a few things that I like to discuss that relates to our topic today. So Prabhupada explains there how the words spoken by Krishna are arparusheya, which means they're perfect. They're not subject to the four defects of the mundane world. And he imparted this knowledge to Brahma, and Brahma distributed this throughout the universe. And he explains there in the purport, he says, the Lord's proprietorship over everything within the universe is confirmed also in the Bhagavad Gita. He quotes the verse, pada, prakriti, are discussed. How all these different material elements, earth, fire, water, air, ether, and all the subtle elements, they all belong to Krishna. They're inferior or material energy. They're all his energy. So nothing in the universe that does not belong either to para or the apara prakriti, it belongs to Krishna. He's the controller of all of them. And the analogy of Krishna as just like fire distributes energy, heat and light, the Lord displays his energy in different ways. And he's the possessor of all these things. And how he's the full, inconceivably, he occupies, or he owns these things, opulence, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. He has all these things. So if one is intelligent, then he would accept Krishna as the proprietor of everything. and just take whatever his quota is and be satisfied with that. Just like all these elements I mentioned, we can't bring them. We didn't make them. All we can do is just bring them together, you know, with our labor and just make something. But the laborer cannot claim to be the proprietor of the thing that he's building. You see? So Prabhupada here talks about, again, here's a very important topic. In modern society, there is always a great quarrel between the laborers and the capitalists. This quarrel has taken an international shape, and the world is in danger. Men face one another in enmity and snarl, just like cats and dogs. Sri Ishapanishad cannot give advice to the cats and dogs, but it can deliver the message of Godhead to man through the bona fide acharyas, holy teachers. So here we go. Here's our sadhu. The human race should take the Vedic wisdom of Sri Ishapanishad and not quarrel over material possessions. One must be satisfied with whatever privileges are given to him by the mercy of the Lord. There can be no peace if the communists or capitalists or any other party claims proprietorship over the resources of nature, which are entirely the property of the Lord. The capitalist cannot curb the communist simply by political maneuvering, nor can the communists defeat the capitalists simply by fighting for stolen bread. If they do not recognize the proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the property they claim to be their own is stolen. Consequently, they will be liable to punishment by the laws of nature. Nuclear bombs are in the hands of both communists and capitalists, and if both do not recognize the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord, it is certain that these bombs will ultimately ruin both parties. Thus, in order to save themselves and bring peace to the world, both parties must follow the instructions of Sri Ishapanishad. So we're just explaining here that human beings should not quarrel like cats and dogs, but we should be intelligent enough to understand the importance and the aim of human life. And the Vedic literatures is meant for that. So we should not remain animals, but take advantage, because they don't have developed consciousness. So Prabhupada continues here that in that book. So human being is sufficiently intelligent to take lessons from the Vedic literature and thereby know how the laws of nature are working and derive profit out of such knowledge. If a man neglects the instructions of the Vedic literature, his life becomes very risky. A human being is therefore required to recognize the authority of the Supreme Lord and become his devotee. We must offer everything to the Lord's service and partake only of the remnants of food offered to the Lord. This will enable him to discharge his duty properly. So this is the root of all sin. It's just deliberate disobedience to the laws of nature and disregarding the proprietorship of the Lord. So this is what happens. And a sadhu is one who is very honest, and he realizes what belongs to what, who, and how we should utilize everything. And he's very compassionate, and he tries to distribute this so that others will go home, back to Godhead. So there's a lecture in New York Srila Prabhupada gave in 1966. And Prabhupada mentions this point again in his lectures. And it's talking about the proprietorship of God and how the Ishavasham verse teaches us that nothing belongs to you. So here he says, there is a story that God laughs when two parties fight for land. Actually, we have seen this in India. When there was partition, Hindus and Muslims fought. When both of them died and lay on the street, it was asked, now whose land is it? Right? Nobody replied. Nobody replied. God's land will remain here and we simply fight. This is my land. This is my land. These are all the paraphernalia of our illusion. So illusion. So we see fighting going on even today. And then when we see them dead on both sides, whose land is it? It's just crazy. So there's another nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. This is chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. And you know that verse, 1.5.11. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So this is that word, sadhu, is one who's, oh, honest one, like Uddhava. So Prabhupada in that purport describes the difference between an intelligent man and an actual saint. An intelligent man, he actually picks nectar from poison, right? You know, he accepts a good and qualified wife from maybe a lower family life. So these are some things. But he said a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. So then in that another sentence there he says, but we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration. And the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. So they use the analogy of the fire in the house, right? If there's a fire, even though there may be their neighbors speak different languages or whatever, but still they understand because the same spirit of cooperation is needed. Just like if there's a fire, to broadcast the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam in this polluted atmosphere. Prabhupada also says, we are concerned with the techniques and not the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. So these techniques are our way of regulating ourselves. Like they tell people, like, you know, if you find yourself becoming angry, you find yourself, you know, acting in a certain way, then you regulate yourself. You start to think, okay, how am I acting today? How am I doing this today? So this is what we do through the Vedic literatures, gives us the techniques on how to regulate ourselves to live according to religious principles so that we can advance. Because there's so many unwanted literatures out there and they cause the disease. Whereas this transcendental literature is like sugar candy, which treats jaundice. They may not like it in the beginning, but still, that's the cure. And this is what happens. This Bhagavat Purana, that's the Purana called Dunau Ditaha. That the Purana Arka is the Purana which is brilliant like the sun. And it's Aduna, just now it has arisen. So this is the Bhagavat Purana. It's as brilliant as the sun, and it has just arisen after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada explains something very nicely here. And I'd just like to read that. So he quotes Bhagavad Gita that Krishna descends by his own potency, right? All his names, his paraphernalia, everything comes. And he comes to reclaim the fallen souls and reestablish the codes of religion so people could become regulated. So he says here, except for God, no one can establish the principles of religion. Either he or a suitable person, a sadhu, empowered by him, can dictate the codes of religion. Real religion means to know God, our relationship with him, and our duties in relationship with him, and to know ultimately our destination after leaving this material body. So we're entrapped in this material energy. and we hardly know the principles of life. So Prabhupada says there, most of them are like animals engaging in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. They are mostly engaged in sense enjoyment under the pretension of religiosity, knowledge, or salvation. They are still more blind in the present age of quarrel, or Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal addition of the animals. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. They are so blind that they cannot see anything beyond the needs of the body. They have no information of the spirit soul beyond the jurisdiction of the subtle mind, intelligence, or ego. But they are very much proud of their advancement in knowledge, science, and material prosperity. And what they'll risk all that. They'll risk it just and to become a dog or a hog in the next life. So he goes on here talking about the blind people and how the Bhagavatam is like a torchbearer and brings real light and real life and how we can fulfill the aim of life, the summum bonum of life. So anybody recognize what that is? A what? Tuning fork, yes. Yes, he's a musician. So just like association is so powerful, just like this morning I was asking, how give me some help with the tune in the verse. So just by association, with Archita started it, and then I got the tune. I got the tune. So this is, we associate with the sadhu. We hear the vibrations of the transcendental literatures, and then we can actually get in tune again with Krishna. So this is what happens. So the essence of all these glories of the Supreme Lord is in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. They're transcendental sounds. They prepare us, they purify us, so our mind can be attracted to nothing else but Krishna and to develop that loving relationship with Him. So the reason why I chose a tuning fork is how even material sounds are transformative. They're actually very powerful. And what to speak of transcendental sounds. So just like this tuning fork, they use it to tune pianos or whatever. But now they could even use it for therapy. And it's based on the principle that everything in the universe is made of vibration. So sound healing is possible because the human body is not solid. It's actually, you know, it's made up of mostly, they say, water, you see, and water conducts sound. So the body is an awesome resonator of sound. So they have these special tuning forks that actually resonate with your body, and they help release pain, help healing, increase the flow of qi or chi. So this is what the tuning forks. So if we apply this thing of hearing Krishna from the pure devotees, then we will also become resonant with Krishna and we'll help with that. So that's what I wanted to bring about, how we can actually become balanced with Krishna through this transcendental sound vibration by association. And that's from the sadhus, the saintly people. So, all right. I'd like to end there, and if there's any comments or questions, we can bring them up now. So we have no disillusionment about the rising or setting of the sun. Because it, for a devotee, it's always a festival. It's always in sunshine. You see. So thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.